Remember these two characters from an earlier program?
Put him back.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Put those croissants back.
What the hell is that?
This is a 44 Magnum.
Well, they're back. Hello, and welcome to Cromford's Assortment on Thursday, the 11th of June, 2020. On this day, the 11th of June, 1770, Captain James Cook discovered the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia. To be more accurate, his ship Endeavour discovered the reef by running aground on it. Basically, Endeavour headbutted the thing, which I think was very loutish behaviour. On this day in 1776, the Continental Congress named its committee to draft an American Declaration of Independence. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and two other blokes I've never heard of, so I'm not listing them. The committee worked like stink to get a declaration finished before the 4th of July, because obviously everybody wanted to go and enjoy the holiday. Also on this day in 1776, John Constable, creator of some of the most famous English paintings, such as Salisbury Fields Forever, The Fool on Flatford Mill, and The Hey Jude, was born in Suffolk. On this day in 1910, Jacques Cousteau, or Old Glug Glug, as I like to call him, the French naval officer, diver, marine explorer, filmmaker, and inventor of scuba, was born. And if you've seen The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, you don't really need to catch up with any of Cousteau's archived films. On this day in 1959, the Saunders Roe SRN1, the first full-size practical hovercraft, made its maiden flight. Soon, the comics and boys' magazines were full of speculative articles about how we'd all be riding around in hovercars come the millennium. Didn't happen. I guess there just isn't enough puff in the world. Also on this day in 1959, Hugh Laurie, probably the best casting for Bertie Wooster ever, was born. Funny, I still think of him as one of the upstart generation of the early 1980s. Oh my lord, he's almost the same age as me. And look at the state of me. On this day in 1962, convicts Frank Morris and the Anglin brothers disappeared from Alcatraz Island. Available evidence suggested they'd set off to swim San Francisco Bay, and to this day no one can establish whether they drowned in the attempt or became the only prisoners to escape successfully from that prison. Of course, they could have just dressed up as pelicans and waddled on and off the ferry for all we really know. On this day in 1975, Britain's North Sea oil pipeline coughed up its first gloopy globs, soon to be a torrent of 400,000 barrels per day. According to Joe Don Baker's hilarious CIA man in the TV thriller Edge of Darkness, all that oil was going to protect Scotland's golf courses. And finally, on this day in 1979, rock and roll trailblazer Chuck Berry pleaded guilty to income tax evasion. He copped 4 months jug and 1,000 hours of community service. I ask you, Chuck Berry. The bloke should have been exempt. They should have washed his feet with their grateful tears. Or something. Now, the next item is a thing called I'm in a ditty, get me out of here. And here's a slightly younger version of me to introduce this week's ditty. One afternoon about 44 years ago, I went to my bedroom with my guitar and sat down on the bed and started to play. I'd been playing guitar about a year at that point, so I was still fairly hesitant with what I was doing. And I sat and I strummed the following chords. And from that I started to go da-da-dum, da-da-dum, trying to find a tune, and I ended up with something like this. Which I repeated, and that was going to constitute a verse. A jolly sounding thing, I think you'll agree. And then it developed into a chorus that went like this. So, yeah, I was keen to show off all the new chords I'd learned. So I got that far, and then I hit a big snag. I didn't know what to write about. Being 17, with all the wisdom of probably a 12-year-old, I hadn't a clue what to write about. So I ummed and ahed and struggled and strained, and eventually I came up with something. I came up with something philosophical. All the philosophy of a 17-year-old going on 12. I can actually still remember the first verse. And I'm going to recite it now, and I cannot recite it straight-faced. I'm going to have to ham it up. No good planning for things to come. The time to live is here and now. How do you know you'll reach your aim before you have to take your bow? And mercifully for us all, that is all I can remember. Then the chorus, again, I can remember two lines of the chorus, and the rest of it is mercifully lost. It went, You're in the world, man, and there's no way out. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? That means that's the blindingly obvious, followed by an outright lie. Nevertheless, I soldiered on and completed the lyric and called the song You're in the World, which must have been very reassuring to anybody that ever saw that title. And there it was. That was my first ever song. Happily, the only person who ever heard that song once I'd written it was my girlfriend of the time, and she was very charitable. So then it got consigned to the dustbin in the back of my memory. However, last week while I was playing all those records by other people, I made a reference to Mike Oldfield and Tubular Bells and how I thought Tubular Bells must have haunted him ever since he completed it. And I had the same problem with this tune. Because that tune has haunted me all through the years. I don't know which composer it was who said it, but he said you never waste a good idea. Well, in my case, I never waste a bad one either. And I have reused that tune in several other songs over the years. Nobody seems to have noticed yet. So, the original thing was perpetrated in 1976, and now I bring the story up to 2007, when I decided to go back to basics and work on the song again. Never waste a bad idea. So I tweaked the chords somewhat and added a chord in the verse section which helped it along a treat. It now went something like this. The chorusy bits, instead of going da 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 da, went like this. Might not sound much of a change to you, but it was huge for me. And with these tweakings, I got a new subject to write about, and I had a new title. Now, the subject was the slightly disgruntled feeling I was having at the time vis-à-vis social media and how it seemed to be creating a world of people who considered themselves to be the stars of their own feature film. And they were making these films, but because everybody was doing it, nobody was watching the films. I had as the first line in the chorus, "The world is thick with film that no one ever sees." So I called the song "The World is Thick," which isn't the most attractive of song titles. And when you realise that it acronyms to TWIT, TWIT, that's even worse. So I hastily reconsidered that and decided I would just call it Thick With Film, which has an off-colour sort of connotation all its own, doesn't it? That's just as bad. And eventually it mutated into just film. So it then went something like this. I could tell you all about my early life, and I'd make your evening seem to crawl by. Better for us both if I just keep it dark, show myself some scenes to be enthralled by. The world is thick with film that no one ever sees. And so on like that. So, at this point, I decided I was going to make an arrangement demo for myself so that I could figure out how I was going to play the whole thing properly when I came to make the proper recording. So I'm now going to play you an excerpt from that first demo recording in 2007. It's all acoustic and electric guitars and me singing, and the only fake parts are the bass and the percussion. Which actually sounds like somebody locked in a wardrobe at the back of the room, politely insisting that he be let out.
That'll be my delivery from Waitrose. Just a moment. Bright and early this morning, I must say. How are you?
Well, well.
You?
Well, well. Mr. 44 Magnum himself.
What are you doing here? And why are you dressed like a Waitrose person?
Because that's who just started paying me. I'm your home delivery guy. And now I know where you live.
I hope we're not going to have any unpleasantness.
Not at all, mister. Let's be real friendly.
Well,
you can call me Harry.
Well, all right then. That's very decent of you.
Okay then, Mr. Eastwood.
Eastworth. I'm Mr. Eastworth. Can't Waitrose get anything right?
Probably not, pal. I'm afraid there have been a few substitutions in this order of yours.
Oh, for goodness sake. All right, then. What have I got?
Well, there are your potatoes. And your rutabagas.
Rutabagas? They're called Swedes.
Whatever. You know, you look like the sort of pipsqueak who eats rutabagas for pleasure.
Pipsqueak? Are you being abusive?
Not at all. It's a friendly expression. Now, what didn't we have?
Did you get my croissant?
Yep. Okay. We couldn't get you the iceberg lettuce, but we do have these.
What are they?
Pre-packed BLT sandwiches.
Pardon?
I figure you could tweeze the lettuce out of them.
What else?
No turkey crown, but you got these.
Party snacks?
It's a 6-pack of chicken-flavored potato chips.
You mean crisps?
Yeah, whatever. You gotta remember, these are difficult times for supply and demand.
I suppose so, but I don't have to be happy about it.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. Which reminds me, you carrying that gun right now?
What? In me dressing gown? I've only just got up.
Okay. Moving right along. Bananas. Yeah, we have no bananas. But we do got these. Tiny and tempting, bite-sized caramel flapjacks.
Are you winding me up?
They are tiny and tempting.
How are they a substitution for bananas in any shape or form?
Don't know. Waitrose must have overbought, I guess.
Somehow I can't see this ending well. In the meantime, you're still in a ditty and I haven't got you out of there yet. In 2010, I started to put together an album project to be called Isaac and the Angelus. There would be 12 songs on the album, and film would be one of them. So I started to assemble a proper multi-track recording of the song. Assemble is the key word here, because as a do-it-all-myself musician who can't play drums and doesn't possess a bass guitar, I end up constructing bass and drums parts using my sequencers, synths, digital keyboard and what have you. So, for example, here's a bit of the fake drums and bogus bass for the verse sections of Film. You'd laugh if I told you how long it might take me to put that lot together, so I'm not telling you. Film also contains parts for piano and orchestral strings, and they also had to be created out of samples and fakery, but at least here I could play what I needed on a digital keyboard and convert it to the sounds I wanted through the wonders of MIDI. That's Musical Instrument Digital Interface. And here's a burst of all the pretend instruments playing in the bridge section of the song.
So, red onions instead of the shallots.
In heaven's name, man, how many more substitutions?
That's all of them. Nearly done now. It's said here, 20 tubs of powdered chocolate Nesquik.
20? Well, that's a ridiculous mistake. I only ordered 2.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I took care of the other 18 for you.
What do you mean?
I tipped them away in your little water feature over there.
You did what?
It frothed up a real treat.
My patio waterfall?
Yep.
But, what? Are you totally crackers? Why did you... I had fish in there.
Ah, you did, huh?
I don't know what to say.
Well, sorry about that, but it's kind of lucky I got another fish for you then.
What?
As a goodwill gesture, because of all the substitutions, Waitrose wants you to have this salmon.
A salmon?
Freshly caught yesterday, straight out of the chill box. A good-sized one, too.
Well, that's very handsome of them, but it doesn't make
hey,
up...
Hey, listen, do you want the fish or don't you?
Yes, I do. But didn't you have any paper to wrap it in? You're standing there holding it like a baseball bat.
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Oops.
Ow! Stop it!
Whoa, I slipped.
Oh, get off! Ooh!
You gonna take this fish or are you gonna just slump there rubbing your head?
I am going to report you.
Makes no never mind to me, mister. I just quit. Oh, almost forgot. I didn't give you your little crescent doodads.
Get off my doorstep before I call the police. But you can leave the croissant.
No, I can't. I saw them. I shoved them in my pie hole. I enjoyed them. Revenge is sweet and flaky, mister. I'll keep the salmon.
If I ever see you again, you'll wish you'd...
Hey, don't forget. I know where you live. So long, Frosty.
Right. Thinks he can ride roughshod over me, does he? Well, we'll soon see about... Hello? Beavis and Barnett? I'd like to put my house up for sale.
Meanwhile, back in 2010, the song Film needed the human touch. More specifically, it needed guitars and a few voices. So I asked a chap I know called Paul Cromford, and he very kindly played some acoustic and electric guitars, doing things like this. And sang about half a dozen vocal parts, some of which sounded like this.
You should have been there.
Then why are you telling
you
me?
Have been there.
Then why are you telling
you
me?
Have been there.
Then why are you telling me?
You should have been.
And between us, we agreed that the song was now complete. But then I ran out of steam on the parent album project and Film basically got shelved until early this year. I'm going to share it with you at the end of this programme, in glorious mono, because it would actually cost you 89 pence to hear it all in stereo or download it on my website. And that's the story of a song that started out as my very first attempt and took 44 years to find an audience. Thank you. Now, one more time before I put it in mothballs is On the Trot, where I suggest something for you to stick in your ears to go for your daily walk or your daily jog. Now, in week 12 of the COVID-19 emergency, Britain's become a bloody funny place. Coronavirus deniers gathering en masse to parade their stupidity, or do some heavy-duty virtue signalling, which comes to the same thing. Schools reopening and, whoops, closing again. Everybody and every business adopting their own versions of the restrictions so that as you move around the town, you can pick and mix your precautionary measures. Nobody having any clue where the goalposts are anymore or whether there actually are any goalposts. In these circumstances, my last on-the-trot candidate is either ironic or not, depending on your point of view. It's a relic from 30 years ago. It's the B-52s. It's Rome.
can tell you all about my early life, and I'd make your evening seem to crawl by. Better for us both if I just keep it dark, show myself some scenes to be enthralled by. The world is thick with film that nobody ever sees. Stars are out and about their own publicity, reworking novelizations that can never be set for any soul not sickened of the whole sorry business yet. I can think of doings in my in telling and you're speaking now, but your anecdotes don't say much to me.
And that about wraps it up for this show. I hope you enjoyed it. If so, make a date for the next one, Thursday the 18th of June. In the meantime, keep it together. Stay sane, safe and well. I made this program for you, and I'm gonna be here sending them out as long as you are there to receive them. And, you know, sometimes I get a telepathic shiver that you are there receiving them, which pleases me no end. Bye for now. Cromford's Assortment was conceived, assembled and presented by me, Paul Cromford. I don't own the B-52's song Rome, I just borrowed it to entertain you. All incidental music and any other music you heard throughout the programme was created by me. This was a Paul Cromford production, exclusively for you.